People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. You may well know of a new ballet company here in Cape Town, Cape Ballet Africa, and their recent inaugural season, Salt, played at the Baxter Theatre to great acclaim. Now, my guest today is Diane van Schoor, who currently serves as artistic advisor to Alberta Ballet in Canada, and, importantly for us, as guest teacher and patron of Cape Ballet Africa. Diane recently received the Outstanding Achievement Award from the Cecchetti Council of America in the United States in recognition of her 40 years' contribution. She's also received the Cecchetti International Gold Medal Award at the International Ballet Competition in the U.S. with the citation for Outstanding International Contribution and Dedication, which benefited the international community, and has also made mention of the heritage film she made of the diploma work with dancers from the Royal Ballet and Birmingham Royal Ballet. Ballet is very much her life. Diane van Schoor, welcome to People of Note. Welcome indeed.
Hello, Rodney. Thank you.
It's exciting to have you here. I misunderstood because I thought you lived overseas, but as you said, you live in Stellenbosch, don't you, and teach and work in Stellenbosch.
That's correct. I had a long association with Stellenbosch since the time I left the then K-pop ballet as a dancer and had my own school of classical ballet in Stellenbosch. And then, as I say before, you know, the dance was very kind to me. I had an invitation to move to London where I first of all taught the Royal Ballet Company at the Opera House.
That's a feather in your cap, isn't it?
It is indeed. Wonderful opportunity.
Yeah.
And then I was invited to join the staff of the Royal Ballet School. And I moved around. I started at the lower school at White Lodge. I was just there for a year teaching the graduates. And then I was moved to the upper school where I taught the second year ballet diploma. And then after 4 years, I was asked to go back to White Lodge as ballet principal, and I held that post for 10 years.
And this is as a teacher? You were no longer dancing?
No, I was not dancing at all. It was all teaching. And then, as I say, I ended my tenure with the Royal Ballet School as ballet principal.
Okay. And then you came back to Stellenbosch?
We came back to Stellenbosch for family reasons. My mom-in-law was aged, and we came to assist and just give her a quality time for the what was to be the last year of her life. But we must have done a really good job because we lost her during COVID, not from COVID, but aged almost 101. So it was a privilege to be here at that time.
You must have done something right to coin
I would
this
like to think
music.
So. But, you know, as we were locked down here, and we are, my husband and I are both South African, it just seemed appropriate to settle back here. So we have a home, and I still work, fortunately, internationally, but out of Stellenbosch.
Yes, I want to ask you about Canada in a moment. But first of all, just let's go back even further, because as a young girl, you started with K-Pab or Cape Town City Ballet. Or it was K-Pab then, wasn't it?
It was. The company was
right,
K-Pab.
With people like David Poole.
That's correct.
And yes. Dulcie Howes and that crowd.
That's correct. And I'm an alumni of the UCT Ballet School. So I was at ballet school and then graduated into the company at the time.
And of course, with ballet dancers, there comes a time where you have to give up, doesn't there?
I cannot agree with you.
Well, I mean dancing. I mean dancing, Diane.
Dancing for sure.
That's what I mean.
And of course, now dancers dance for so much longer, it would appear. You know,
is that true? Is that happening?
Well, I think the dance science is so advanced, and I just think, yes, the bodies seem to be more durable, more flexible, more everything. And so dancers, I think, have a longer career potentially than they had when I was dancing.
Gosh, that's very good news. I mean, if someone were to ask me what age would a ballet dancer have to give up, I would say before 40.
I would say you're right, yes.
Even now with the advanced,
science
advanced?
Yes, generally.
Okay. Mm. And then, but not many of them go into teaching. In a sense, can I say you were lucky to continue as a ballet person, but as a teacher?
Well, interestingly enough, Rodney, My passion was always to teach.
Oh, even
and
before?
At the time when I was offered a contract with a company, the dancers were really quite tall. And I thought I was too short. And David Poole said to me one day, I have a place in the company for a shorter girl. Would you be prepared to audition? So I think I was probably in the right place at the right time. And I wasn't going to give it much time performing because, you know, I always wanted to teach. But you recognize after 1 year in the company, you don't know overly much. And so I was fortunate to get good opportunities and I stayed. But when I left, you know, my passion was to teach. And mm-hmm. so really the greater part of my life has been teaching.
My goodness. And teaching ballet, I also often think one imagines a ballet mistress being rather on the strict side.
I would say you are correct. Precise, disciplined, challenging, demanding, all of those things.
Mm-hmm. I would say discipline was almost the most important word there
absolutely.
To instill
you
in
know,
the young dancers.
I always say to the dancers, I don't make the rules, the profession makes the rules.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that there are as many male and female dancers, or do you only teach one male, or do you teach both?
No, I teach both. I think the picture is slightly different here. At the Royal Ballet School, for example, for every female student, there was a male student. It was 50-50 down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think here it appears to be perhaps fewer men, But of course, there are lots of men in dance in this country and in various forms of dance as mm-hmm. well.
Not only just ballet, of course.
Correct.
Now, I think we should have your first piece of music. And I'm intrigued, Diane, that you've chosen Barbara Streisand. But singing a classical piece, Bossuet by Debussy, is this mm-hmm. something special for you?
It is. You know, when you think of Barbara Streisand, I just love her, an actress and you think of her in Funny Girl and you see her transition into something so very classical. So I think it is akin to what I do, you know, to inspire the versatility in dancers. And I just think she has this wonderful, versatile voice. And it's just on a particular album that is just one of my favorites.
Nous entrons
Barbra Streisand in an unusual role there. Actually, that CD, as you said, Diane, is interesting because it's all classical. In fact, I think it's called Barbra Streisand Classical.
It is.
She was singing there Beau Soir, that piece by Claude Debussy. A reminder what a versatile person she is, actor and singer, comedian, as you said. And you think of her in Funny Girl and a whole host of things. Anyway, that was the first choice of my guest, Diane van Schoor. And we're talking about Diane, who is guest teacher and patron of Cape Ballet Africa, which has just had their inaugural season, which you may well have seen at the Baxter Salt. But we were talking about teaching and training and men and women and all that. And in this country, do you find, are people interested in ballet? Are they pouring into the schools? Was an exaggeration?
I think that in the absence of a national school in this country, the work, classical work, is still produced via private schools and private studios around the country, and they produce really very good work. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's overly much different. You know, that has been the scene for many, many years. As for students pouring into schools, it would depend on whether schools are offering ballet as a subject or part of their curriculum, rather. So I think to answer your question, dancers who, or children, students who want to study are still going mainly to private schools around the country.
And we need perhaps to get more young men in as well to encourage them, because when they do go in, a male dancer is a very exciting person on stage, isn't he, with the beauty of the female dancer.
Well, certainly, I think with the evolution of technique and strength and flexibility and the whole philosophy of practicing safe dance, there are rather more similarities between men and women dancing rather than differences. You know, the height of the leg, the extensions of the leg, all of those things have developed. So I think that they are rather similar, the training of men and women, other than, of course, when you do strength training, upper body training for the men, certain virtuosic movements are, of course, different.
Yes, and the men need the upper body strength, don't they?
They do.
Because of that lifting that
Correct.
They have to do. Is it true, you sometimes read, and I often wonder if it's an urban myth, you sometimes read that a male ballet dancer at the peak of his career, if he's a soloist, is as fit, if not more fit, than, say, a rugby player?
I've got to be careful how I answer this as a South African. I think that, you know, I recall quite years ago that we had some rugby players join the ballet company, and they struggled. I mean, it's a different fitness, Rodney.
Using different muscles.
It's certainly different. I think that ballet dancers are very cardiovascular, but I think that the aim and objective for them is to be strong, but to be lean. So weightlifting has to be very carefully administered so that they don't build bulk. But
as a rugby player would have.
Yes, yeah, I think the whole development of the physique is different.
And earlier on, when we were mentioning teaching, do you teach modern dance as well, or do you stick strictly to classical ballet?
No, I don't. I teach classical ballet, so I have specialized in the classical ballet genre.
And you said you always wanted to be a teacher, which is interesting, although you did have moments of glamour, didn't you, when you were dancing? But still the teaching thing called you.
Yes, it did.
But I just want to go back further than that, and how did you get into ballet? What caused you to make ballet your life, initially as a dancer, now as a teacher?
I believe when I was about 5 or 6, my mother said I just always wanted to dance, and she took me to ballet.
So it was very young, a very young start.
Yes. I was 6, I think, when I started.
And that's when you started lessons?
Correct.
Wow. So it has been a life, hasn't it?
It's been a life, indeed.
I want to ask you a bit about the Alberta Ballet in Canada. There's also your artistic advisor to the Alberta Ballet in Canada. How did that come about?
Canada had always been on my horizon. During my guest teaching, I was invited to many various cities. I also worked with the Royal Winnipeg Ballet in Canada. I worked with the National Ballet School of Canada. And I think over the years I was just re-invited to various centres, and one of those was Alberta Ballet. I was still living in London, and I was actually offered a position with Alberta Ballet, but, you know, I was still in London. It wasn't an option to even consider, aside from the snow and the cold.
Yes.
But when I left the Royal Ballet School, I was asked to visit the school, and I was asked whether I would consider making a new curriculum, a training curriculum for the school. So I was quite involved, starting with the professional division. When I completed that, I worked with the junior division, the recreational division. And then I was asked if I would stay on and be artistic advisor. So I visit the school two or three times a year. I function as an external examiner. So I mark all the progress reports of the students. I teach when I'm there. And also I teach the company, it's a beautiful company in Alberta.
What was it about Canada that attracted you to the ballet world in Canada as opposed to anywhere else?
Well, you know, I've done a lot of work in America. I've really been very fortunate. I've also done curricular work for one of the schools in London. I've done the same for the Royal Swedish Ballet. So I guess just one thing leads to another, you know, and mm-hmm. I think it's Canada found me rather than I found Canada.
Is that so? Okay. And among the many things you've done, you've performed and presented papers at international conferences. You've acted as subject consultant for various dance publications, an honorary committee member of the Wayne State University for Fine Performing Arts in the USA. So, as you say, you really have an international career, don't you? Let's boast a bit.
Well, thank you. But yes, I'm fortunate. And I said earlier, the dance has been really kind to me. So mm-hmm. I have had just wonderful opportunities. And I've had a very supportive husband, so it's not ever been a problem for me to pack a suitcase and get on a plane and travel, you know.
Right.
We both in the arts. My husband is a pianist, but he's a pedagogue now. And so I think that it's been a good marriage of the art forms, but a good physical marriage because, you know, we've continued our careers.
You've certainly had luck on your side, haven't you? I mean, I don't mean that negatively either, because you've obviously worked incredibly hard, as we said earlier, that ballet dancers have to do, discipline and all the rest. But there's been some lovely things that have happened, like you've just said now, marrying a man who is also an artist mm-hmm. and understands mm-hmm. your life, and you understand his life. Okay, now we're going to have another piece of music. And here, actually, some ballet. I wonder if you're actually going to choose some ballet. Lanchbery's music.
Well, you know, it's really difficult narrowing one's choice of music down for
lots of guests complain about
a program such as this. But I thought, yes, certainly there should be some ballet. I love Sir Frederick Ashton's work, and I think he is just wonderful. He was such a great storyteller. There was always color. Interest in his work, not only the rhythm of everything, but the fast footwork and his great sense of humor. And I think the clog dance is a fun dance, but he was always so good also about including English country dance. You know, these are the things we taught at the Royal Ballet School. We taught Scottish and Irish, but we taught the clog dance, we taught sword dance, we taught the stick dance and Morris dancing. So all of these things you will find in various works of Fred Ashton. So I thought it would be a good inclusion today.
The clog dance it is. Thank you. That's a delightful little piece, that the clog dance from the ballet La Fima Gardée, with choreography by Frederick Ashton for the Royal Ballet, and it was the second choice of my guest. We're talking ballet here on People of Note this week. Diane van Squer is with me, and the reason, one of the main reasons Diane is here, not only to find out about her life, but she's recently been appointed as guest teacher and patron of Cape Ballet Africa, who've just had their recent inaugural season sort, which we'll come to later. But one thing that has fascinated me is this word cecchetti, Diane. Now, you're going to have to explain to me as a non-ballet person, what does the cecchetti school mean? What is cecchetti, or who is cecchetti?
Well, cecchetti is a man, Enrico Cecchetti, and he was known as Maestro Enrico Cecchetti. And when people just loosely use the term cecchetti, it is a method of training. He devised a method of training which he believed should hinge on the 6 days of the week, and on every day he is studying a different part of not only the classical repertoire but also the anatomy. So he ensures that all parts of the body are trained and all steps of repertoire are trained and absorbed within the space of a week. And then, of course, there are just so many wonderful facets about his work, the principles in his training, which are like the cornerstones of the method, the principle of repetition. And he was a great theatrical and dancer himself. He was a musician. So it is extraordinarily theatrical and musical in its aims and objectives. The simplicity of the work is just purely classical, and I think it stands out for the use of its portebras, which are the arms, the lines of the arabesque. So I suppose one could say that as the master of the method, he was very concerned with the aesthetic, the architecture of all the movements, which for me are just fascinating and beautiful.
Was there a reason why you chose the cecchetti method for yourself?
I didn't actually choose it. It just
chose you.
The school my mother enrolled me as a child taught the cecchetti method.
Is it a worldwide?
It's absolutely international.
International, that's the word I was
looking
for.
You mentioned one of the international awards in your preface. I was a founding member of Cecchetti International, and the intention was not to create anything new but to hold all the member organizations together. And so there is Cecchetti in America, in Canada, in Australia, and South Africa, and all over Europe, so it is widely taught around mm-hmm. the world.
So in your case, where you teach in Stellenbosch, students who go there to learn are learning the Cecchetti method.
Well, I don't have a school any longer, Rodney. I teach and I freelance, and I think when one teaches professional people, you don't wear a label. So I'm certainly not teaching Cecchetti when I teach professional people, but I am using the principles of the Cecchetti method in every single class I do. I mean, one of those principles is based on repetition, doing the same thing over and over again to build muscle memory, for example. So I think, you know, how many ways are there to do a plié? How many ways are there to do an arabesque? I think we all aim for the same product, but there are rules and guidelines, and stylistically as well, Cecchetti addressed the certain use of the upper body where the shoulders oscillate around the spine, which gives a completely different look from perhaps a different method or system of training.
You mentioned earlier, I think, some of the other methods. Can you just mention them again? There's Cecchetti. What are some of the other disciplines?
Well, there's the Royal Academy of Dance.
Royal Academy, there you go.
There's also the French school, and then there's the Danish school. The Danish school is not a system of training. It's just a style. And there's, of course, the Russian school, the Vaganova. And when Madame de Valois founded the Royal Ballet School and the Royal Ballet Company, she took the best of all worlds. She included the Italian school, which was Cecchetti, the French, the Danish, and the Russian. And that became a sort of a fusion which gave the English school. So I think, you know, we all do pliés and we all do tendus and we all study pirouettes. But I think there are specifics to the trained eye. You might identify a Cecchetti-trained dancer.
That's one of the tricks I've always said when I've spoken to people from the world of ballet here on People of Note. I'm sort of ignorant of ballet in a sense that I love the music so much and the beauty of the ballet dancers. I've been to a ballet performance where people who in the know say, oh, it was so awful, the quarter ballet, this and that. And I don't see that. But as you say, it's a trained eye, isn't it? You can go along without a trained eye and just enjoy the beauty of it all.
Well, I try very hard when I go to the ballet just to be a member of the public.
But that must be difficult for you.
I don't believe it is. I think one can just switch off from being a teacher and wear a different hat and just enjoy the production. There's so many values that when you are a member of the audience that you are actually looking to absorb mm-hmm. other than just legs and feet.
And also you relax, as you said. You're sitting there as a member of the audience. You're not examining. You're relaxed. Diane, let's take another piece of music. And now you've got Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, which is a huge favorite with many people. So I'm just wondering why you chose it.
Well, I love the entire work, Rodney, and I've just chosen the second movement because this was recently used as, I would like to think, a signature piece choreographed by Kirsten Eisenberg, a young South African choreographer, for the inaugural season of Cape Ballet Africa's SALT. And this piece was titled Reverie. So the second movement was just a perfect denouement to the end of her piece, and exquisitely danced by the dancers. And I would hope that this would remain in the repertoire of this new company.
Thank you.
part of the rather beautiful second movement of Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. And that recording, incidentally, featured the artist, the pianist Daniel Trifonov. And as my guest, Diane van Schuur, said, it was used in Cape Ballet Africa's recent inaugural season of Salt, and it was for the ballet Reverie. Diane, do you choreograph as well, or do you strictly teach?
I have choreographed. I had opportunities in the UK. I worked with the school. There was always a wonderful final annual performance on the main stage at the Royal Opera House in Covent Garden with orchestra. But I wouldn't call myself a choreographer. I think I achieve reasonable dance arrangement, which I think is different from choreography. Mm-hmm. But I did work in collaboration with one of the staff members, and two of the works that we had choreographed were performed on the Royal Opera House stage, and one actually at Buckingham Palace for the Queen's Jubilee.
Oh. So, were you there?
Yes, I was there.
In Buckingham Palace?
In Buckingham Palace.
Oh, lucky you.
Yes. They created a stage, and the students of the Royal Ballet School had a big gala performance in Buckingham Palace.
You spoke earlier very highly of Frederick Ashton's choreography, about its drama and all the rest of it, and its movement. Mm-hmm. So all choreographers are quite different, aren't they?
They are, but I think Sir Fred, his work was just so classical and logical and very, very challenging. And I think people have moved, choreographers have moved away perhaps from very fast footwork and battery, the beating steps. And he made sure that all his works included those elements. So I think for me, you know, as a teacher, they are, his works are special from that point of view.
I think two or three times you've emphasized classical ballet, and being conservative as I am, I quite like that. In other words, because sometimes one goes to a performance of a ballet and it's been choreographed in such a modern way that it doesn't sort of somehow relate to the music or to the story. So I'm rather chuffed that you concentrate on the classical ballet. And there must be a reason for that, the original great ballets, the classical ballets.
Well, I think the art form expresses itself at the most basic and at the in the simplest forms when we talk about classical ballet. But you know, it is the 21st century, and I think that we've all moved on and we've explored, and I think there's place for other dance forms. And I think a good classically trained dancer can usually switch gear, so to speak. So neoclassical works are wonderful. They still employ the point shoe, but the lines and the music and the emphasis falls in a different place. So neoclassical work, modern ballet, I think there's so many terms now, as opposed to contemporary dance, which is theoretically not on point.
That's another thing, isn't it, really? Hardly ballet, in
fact. Yes, but contemporary dancers do very well. When I'm referring to the Cecchetti method, Cecchetti was so ahead of his time. There was so much of his work that was off the perpendicular and off balance. And I think contemporary dancers are wonderful in the way they've learned to fall and to rise, and also to use the weight of the head, which is really important. So I think all of these things, I think I always believe that if you've had a good basic classical training, you can branch out, and I think there's place for other dance forms.
Look, this happens in the study of music as well. A person who studied piano in the classical way and learned scales and arpeggios and all those things, fingerings, and becomes a very good pianist, can easily, more easily adapt to jazz or whatever. So it's a similar sort of idea, isn't it, really?
It is.
Well, okay, now let's go to some more music. You have a lovely selection, because now you've got Unforgettable, the famous Nat King Cole song, but you've chosen the one that they redubbed with his daughter, Natalie Cole, with him. Mm. Is this something special to you?
Well, first of all, Unforgettable. I'm sort of a golden oldie, so I really enjoy music from that era. But it's another collaboration, isn't it? It's
indeed
another. It's like a pas de deux, isn't it? It's.
You mean when his daughter comes in?
I just so valued the aspect of being able to dub his voice over hers. I'm not really a tech person, and I really appreciate so much how that was able to happen.
And sounds so natural.
And I think the unforgettable is just really because of all the unforgettable experiences I've been fortunate enough to have.
that's what you are.
Unforgettable, though near or far,
like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me never before. Has someone been more
unforgettable in every way?
And forevermore,
and forevermore,
that's how you'll stay.
That's how you'll stay.
That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
It is a rather beautiful song, that, and that arrangement as well, Diane. Nat King Cole's Unforgettable, and they then, many years after he recorded it, dubbed his daughter Natalie Cole into it, creating that wonderful duet, which in itself is unforgettable. A choice of my guest, Diane van Schoor, who recently has been appointed guest teacher and patron of Cape Ballet Africa. Their recent inaugural season was called Salt, at the Baxter, which apparently was a huge success, which is good for a new ballet company here in Cape Town. But what do you actually do there? What is guest teacher and patron?
Well, I ballet master the company, in that I am responsible for the company's technique. So I see to a daily diet of classical classes, which is different from just doing a warm-up. I think that dancers who should still have training once they are in a company. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to produce a well-rounded week of classes or day of class, which is just the format of a ballet class. So it's the bar work, the center work, the jumps, virtuoso work, because there are men and women in the company. Mm-hmm. And so that really is my function. I devise a class and I deliver the class, sometimes with repetition the next day, sometimes with something completely different. I guess I'm putting the dancers through their paces,
through their paces,
but
yes,
keeping the physique and the technique strong.
And it's a new company, as I said, a brand new company, really. Is it? How many people are involved in the company at the moment?
There are 12 dancers, 6 men and 6 women.
Oh, that's a nice
and
balance.
And there are 4 apprentices, 2 women and 2 men.
So of these 6 dancers, 4, did you say, men and women?
6 men and 6 women. It's a company of 12.
Okay. And in among those, you have the principals and sub-principals.
Well, it depends on what the work is for the season. Mm-hmm. There would be people who would have a principal role or more work than the next person. But
right. At
this point in time, you know, we're not working via ranks. We're just working via the choreography and the roles the dancers are studying.
And so may I ask you what's next? We had Salt, which apparently was a great success. Do you agree? I know you're going to say yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not biased. I'm a member of the public when I evaluate. But I thought it was a very varied program to touch on some questions you've asked me already today. The first piece, Reverie, was really very classical.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a wonderful piece titled Chapter 2 by Ntutu Zeli November. I had a completely different feel for the dancers. It was also a commissioned score by Peter Johnson. And then the third choreographed piece was by another South African choreographer, Michelle Reed, and it was titled Smoke. And the music was actually from Dave Brubeck, a take on Take 5.
Oh, right.
So okay. I think just the music choices would tell you that it was very versatile, very varied. And then Brandon Lawrence, who has been seen on South African stages before, is an ex-ballet principal from Birmingham Royal Ballet, came to us from Ballet Zurich and performed Kenneth Macmillan's pas de deux from his ballet concerto.
That certainly, I mean, it sounds like an amazingly varied program, almost also varied disciplines in a sense, would you say?
Well, I think, you know, that's how we need to, you know, unless you are performing Swan Lake exclusively, if you have double bills or triple bills, I think it's the variety that one needs to, you educating not only the dancers, but a public to accepting new programs. And I think
that is important.
Mm,
absolutely. Mm. And what's next? What's happening next with Cape Ballet Africa?
Cape Ballet Africa has a short season moving out to the Drama Factory in Somerset West. And then they have a season for March 2025 here at Arts Cape.
Okay. So they're working hard with your help,
I presume. They are, indeed. They are.
How do people contact Cape Ballet Africa if they want to find out more or any details or bookings or whatever? Is there a website address?
Yes, I think we would refer them to the Cape Ballet Africa website.
Which is, incidentally, www.capeballetafrica.com. That's how you can get hold of this new company in Cape Town, Cape Ballet Africa, www.capeballetafrica.com. We'll have to leave it there, but not without your last piece of music, which is Max Bruch, his well-loved violin concerto number 1. Obviously, something quite special to you as well.
It is. I just love that music just for listening. I tend always to be dancing in my head when I listen to music. But I thought I should be a bit theatrical today and play out with a grand finale.
Well, there you are. And pleasant grand finale it is. Dan, it's been great talking to you. And congratulations on your position at Cape Ballet Africa. And I'm sure we'll see and hear more of you.
Thank you, Rodney. It was lovely chatting to you too.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.